come thou fonts. No. Hey, now what happened? Look. Okay. We'll sing it at the end, alright? Come thou fount. We'll continue with our series on the beloved hymns. An unknown author once wrote about the power of old hymns. There's something about a fine old hymn that can stir the heart of a man, that can reach to the goal of his inmost soul, such as no mere preaching can. It's more than the tune of the song he sings, and it's more than the poet's rhyme. It's the Spirit of God working through these things that gives them their power sublime. So we thank thee, Lord, for fine old hymns. May we use them again and again as we seek to save from a hopeless grave the souls of our fellow men. God has his faithful people who will still come for the prayer meeting. And may God bless you. I've entitled this evening's message, Come Thou Fount. This evening, our topic is on the hymn, Come Thou Fount, written by a man called Robert Robinson. And let me tell you the life of Robert Robinson. We have Roman numeral 1, before conversion. Robert Robinson was born of lowly parents in Swaffham, Norfolk, England on September 27, 1735. His father died when Robert was 8. As his life would turn out at 8 years old, his father died. I say that is a major catastrophe in anyone's life, to lose your father at 8. For without the father to guide and to protect and to bless, that boy is handicapped. At 14, mother sent him out of the village in Norfolk. This is in England. That's where we are talking about. Son, go to the great metropolis of London, and there you'll learn a trade. So at the age of 14, he was sent by his mother to London to learn the barbering trade. At 14, the young man goes into that great city of London. Have you been there? London is the capital where all the advancement is, the latest, including the latest in evil. And there he fell into evil company. Oh dear friends, this is the greatest deception and the peril of this day. Singapore is becoming like London. All the temptations around us. What are we doing about our 14-year-old boys and girls in the house? We gave all the gospel. We pray for them. We have fellowships to help to nurture them in the things of God. But will they follow? Will they walk in the ways of God? Robert Robinson fell into evil company. That is the easiest thing to do. It requires no effort. You just go along. It will welcome you. The devil has made everything easy for that. And so he fell into that company and lived every kind of sinful lifestyle he tasted. Here, for the next few years, he was associated with a notorious gang of hoodlums and lived a debauched life. During his early teen years, Robert Robinson lived in London, where he mixed with a notorious gang of hoodlums and led a life of debauchery. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Not only do we have Robinson before conversion, we have Roman numeral 2, the turning point. Turning point. God in His mercy had for Robert Robinson something better than just the filth of the flesh and the carnal desires and things of the world that can be offered, and you can get it freely in London. God has something better. I say thank God. Thank God we have a God of love and mercy. When it comes to you and me, that we attend this meeting this evening to hear the good word of God, the only thing that matters is that we have the word of God, for without the word of God, we are in darkness. There he went, Robert Robinson. At the age of 17, he attended a meeting where George Whitefield was preaching. Going to this great meeting, Robinson and his friends went for the purpose of scoffing at the poor, deluded Methodists. Again, who was preaching? His name is called George Whitefield. He was preaching, and his word touched the heart of this young man. Whitefield's strong evangelistic preaching so impressed young Robinson that he was converted to Christ. He came there to confront, to ridicule, and to challenge, but he stayed to confess his sins and be saved. Robinson went for the purpose of scoffing at those poor, deluded Methodists and ended up professing faith in Christ as his Savior. God's marvelous salvation has reached to you and me, all of us here, all who know the Savior. It's by God's grace and mercy we are here. Now we understand the true values. So Robert Robinson was saved gloriously, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation. Robinson's life before conversion and his turning point is reflected very appropriately in Psalm 36. Please turn to Psalm 36 so that we may receive precious instruction from the life of this man called Robert Robinson. For when he went to the meeting of George Whitefield, the first four verses describe his makeup, his purpose, and what he was doing at that time, going to the meeting to find fault and to confront this preacher. Verse 1 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." That's why he went. That's why he lived a debauched life in London. I say, dear friends, have you tried the debauched life? What is the debauched life? Debauched life is just do what you please. Do what comes naturally. Enjoy yourself. Anyhow you do, you can. Why? Because it's later than you think. The time is later than you think. So enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Do anything you would like, because there's no fear of God in his heart. Verse 1. This describes very aptly Robert Robinson, whom God saved and used. I say, dear friends, if you have any child of their age, any young man or woman of teenage, you are vulnerable. Very vulnerable. Very soon, there will be more and more places of seduction and deception and temptation coming up in Singapore. There will be no shortage of that, I can assure you. What is your protection? Well, dear friends, bring them to the prayer meeting and here together, let us seek the Lord's mercy. Verse 2. Again, this verse describes for us Robert Robinson. He flattered himself. Now I've come to London. How wonderful. I got a gang of people like me, all enjoying ourselves every day, every night. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And at times he'll even hate himself for all the evil things he's doing. But he cannot get out of it, because he who serves sin becomes a servant of sin. How sad, oh dear friends. Have you a son or daughter who is going through that? Refuse to come home, refuse to go to church, living a different kind of life from what he or she had been taught. How sad it is, and yet it may be happening in our midst. Verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. You don't need to teach anyone how to tell lies. You know, the psychologists and neonatologists have learned that babies in their first year already learn to deceive in their first year of life. Who taught them? Oh, they are very smart. And who says so? Psychologists. Now verse 3 says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. You don't have to teach them. Satan is very ever present, and he will go in and implant all these evil things into every young mind. What protection do you have? Only the word of God. Only the love of God and the mercy of God. And only places where that word is honored, is preached, is given out in all its purity. A place such as here you are this evening. Thank God for this. But Robert Robinson was like what verse 3 describes. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. Those things to him are foreign. To be wise and to do good. How can you be wise? Dear friends, do you know what is the method to be wise? How can I be wise? Both Psalm 111 verse 10 and Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Learn to fear God. Now what is to fear God? To know that He is my Creator. Not just a Creator. One day His Son is going to be my Judge. Know that. And take steps to meet the Judge. To come to the Son and let Him be your Mediator, Savior, Redeemer, and put all of your trust in Him. That is the first step of wisdom. Fear of God. To honor His Son. To honor God. And to honor His Word. Do you do that? Do your children know that? Are you having family worship? What for? That it may perchance be the salvation of your child. That it may prevent that child going astray one day. Prevention is better than cure. Family worship better than eventual counseling and getting that fellow out on parole, or police station, or the prison, or of all those evil places where they go. Verse 4, Robert Robinson again. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He says, I'll go to the meeting. I'm going to see George Whitfield preach. I'll tell him he's preaching nonsense. I'm going to confront him. He and his gang went there to confront. But when the word of God was preached, he confessed his sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, dear friends, was there a day when you confessed your sins and received the Savior and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've lived all my life doing all the wrong things, rebelling against the Lord, and have no fear of God. The Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. That is the best thing you ever did. And that's what Robert Robinson did. So verse 5 describes his repentance, his turning around, his turning away from his evil ways, from his evil friends. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. God is faithful. You cannot measure his faithfulness because it's so high, immeasurable. For if God were not faithful, he would have forgotten you. He would have judged you, punished you, destroyed you long time ago. Robert Robinson, yes, now you know. Then he begins to praise God. I say all of us, if you know the Lord, learn to praise him. Every day learn to praise him. Every day come before him and thank him. Thank him that he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then you can say, verses 6 to 7, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Oh yes, dear friends, when you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, you can say all these. And I say practice it every day, every morning, every night. How is your prayer life? How often do you pray? But dear friends, a child who does not talk to Father every morning, every night, and oftentimes in between, what kind of a son is that son? What kind of a daughter is that daughter? Oh my friends, how is your prayer life? Ask yourself, how often do you commune with the Father? How often do you bear yourself before him and tell him all your problems and ask him for help? He's ever waiting, ever listening. When will my child come and say hello, good morning in the morning? How sad when you don't pray. Please pray. Please. Verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How good it is when we all know how to put our trust under the shadow of God's wings. In the sense of an eagle, the mother eagle, or even a hen. Have you seen four or five chickens hiding under the wings of a mother hen? When there is a vulture flying above, they all understand. And what can get at the chickens without killing the mother hen? That is the safety that is provided for all who come to Jesus and hide under the shadow of his wings. You praise him. You love him. You serve him. Are you grateful? Robert Robinson knew after he was called and received the mercy of God and turned from his wicked ways to serve the Lord. He understood all this, putting your faith and your trust in God and God alone and to hide under the shadow of his wings. Let's do that every day. Every day. Come to the Lord in prayer. Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. In other words, they shall be abundantly satisfied with God's blessings poured upon them in this world in which they live. Yes, Robert Robinson thought London was so wonderful until he came to Calvary. Then he found the Savior, the really wonderful person, the one who took away all his sins, the one who showed him where the true way of life is, the one who showed the reality of life, of heaven and hell, and how to walk with Jesus. Have you found that? So, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Satisfied. Satisfaction. Do you know what that is? Godly contentment. That you have found the Savior, because the Savior has found you, and you rest in Him with complete confidence, every day serving Him, following Him, finding Jesus sweeter every day than the day before. Is that your experience? And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. With Robinson before conversion, we have the turning point. We have Roman numeral 3, Robinson after conversion. After conversion. And we have letter A, his calling. His calling. Soon, several years later, Robert Robinson felt called to preach the gospel. He was not just called out of darkness into the marvelous light of salvation, but he also was given the call to be a pastor. So he went to theological studies and he eventually became a pastor. He entered the ministry of the Methodist Church. Subsequently, he left the Methodist Church when he moved to Cambridge, England, and became the pastor of a rather large Baptist church in Cambridge. Despite his young age, here Robinson became known as an able minister, scholar, and theologian through his writing. Writing many various theological works as well as several hymns, including the hymn, Come Thou Fount. This brings us to letter B, his songwriting. His songwriting. A Japanese anecdote tells us that on the way back from Mount Higashi, where father and son had gone to enjoy themselves, the father got into a very good temper and entered the village singing and composing the lyrics to that song. He went past his own house, and the son said, "But father, there is our house." The father looked quite unruffled and said, "Yes, but if I go in now, the song will be in the middle." Pun intended. I'm not sure how Robinson wrote the hymn, Come Thou Fount, but he wrote it when he was just 23 years of age. This is the hymn that is the theme for this evening's message, Come Thou Fount. It expresses his joy, the joy and the conviction of one who had been saved. This hymn is reflected in Psalm 36. Verse 9 is the verse on which the hymn is based. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Here verse 9 says, for with thee is the fountain of life. What is a fountain? Oh, my friends, without water, we perish in a week's time. All of us perish without water. And here is a fountain of life, a water of life. And Jesus gives it to you. So Robinson wrote this wonderful, wonderful hymn. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. When you're so happy, filled with the love of God, you cannot help but sing. Do you sing sometimes? Do you sing every day? Why not? If you're happy in the Lord, sing. Come thou fount of every blessing. You will find no blessing outside of the Lord Jesus that is worth talking about. Temporary enjoyments, carnal entertainments, things that pander to the body and to the flesh, those things are not blessings. Those things are deceptive. They will only pull you down. It will pull you back to the world. Come thou fount. Fountain of blessing is with Jesus. And here, every Wednesday night, we tell you all the things, the good things that come out of Jesus. Prayer meeting. Why are so few people coming? I heard that very few churches in Singapore can succeed in doing a weekly prayer meeting. Very few. I say thank God we are among the very few. And I thank God for you, faithfully coming. But let us persevere. These are the battles we got to fight. The hymn text contains an interesting expression in the second stanza. Here I raise by Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. This language is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 to 12. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Ebenezer is a symbol of God's faithfulness. God is indeed faithful. Isaiah chapter 25 verse 1 says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Moving on to the third stanza of the hymn and expression there. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Seems to have been prophetic of Robinson's later years, where we have, let us see, his backsliding. His backsliding. Once again, Robinson's life became characterized by lapse into sin, unstableness, and an involvement with the doctrines of Unitarianism. Yes, he has backslided. Like the Missouri farmer describes his meal, awfully backward about going forward. C.E. McCartney said, the only safe direction for the Christian to take is forward and upward. If he stops, or if he begins to slip and go backward, that moment he is in danger. But we have letter D, his reviving. His reviving. The story goes that a revival meeting took place for 4 nights. A certain man came into the meeting and sat in the back row. The next night, he moved halfway toward the front. The third night, he was sitting in the front row. The fourth night, he broke out in prayer. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Over to one side, there was a woman who knew the man well. She cautioned the Lord, "Careful, Lord, he leaks." What is revival? Do you know? When there are large crowds filling the national stadium, they say, "There is revival." Is that revival? Yes and no. Depends on why they are there. Just because the stadium is full of 30, 40, 50,000 does not necessarily mean there is revival. What is revival? What do you mean by you are revived? Meaning to say that you are faced with the reality. That is the first step to revival. To realize that you have lapsed into sin and you face the Holy God, your Creator. When one has come to that realization that one has lapsed into sin and then cries out in mercy to God, "Have mercy, Lord." Remember, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. So how can we have revival, dear friends? This is the most wonderful blessing you can ever have. And that is to realize you have lapsed into sin. When you come to remember Jesus died to save you, and you come to the realization that that only the joy of salvation matters the most. Everyone can give up his sin and come to Jesus and say, "Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, restore to me the joy of salvation." That is revival. When you are revived, you say, "My Lord first. I come to God's house always because He has given me joy in life. I will be here regardless." That is a revival. Robert Robinson was revived. The story is told that Robinson was one day riding a stagecoach when he noticed a woman deeply engrossed with a hymn book. During an ensuing conversation, the lady turned to Robinson and asked what he thought of the hymn she was humming. Suddenly, Robinson began to weep. He burst into tears, and with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had then." It is an experience that he would have paid anything to go through again. And that hymn was, "Come Thou Fount." What can we do? Dwight L. Moody once said, "The best way to revive a church is to build a fire in the pulpit." I say, dear friends, when I put this title to this series, Beloved Hymns, it's with a prayer and hope that through the words of God set to music, preached by the preacher, by the working of the Holy Spirit, you may be revived. The Beloved Hymns series is my feeble little effort that from this pulpit, I will endeavor to preach the Word of God. The Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That this word continues to be preached from this pulpit faithfully, that it may turn men and women to Jesus Christ and revive some who are willing to be restored from their lapse into sin. Today, the greatest sin is materialism. When Christians focus their heart and mind and desire on things of the world, on material things, that is the end of his spiritual vitality for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived by the great boom of activity in Singapore. Everywhere, everything is going up. Buildings, developments, more and more money coming in. That is the curse. Let us pray that the Lord will deliver us from this deceptiveness of material things. The story of Robert Robinson, the writer of Come Thou Fount, before conversion, turning point, and after conversion. We close by returning to the verse where that beloved hymn, Come Thou Fount, came from. We close by returning to verse 9, back in Psalm 36. For with thee is the fountain of life. Can you say this with the psalmist? With thee is the fountain of life. No one else can give you that fountain of life. All the rest are counterfeits. Nothing else can give you the pleasure that the gospel gives you. God gives you the true life, the everlasting life, and when you drink it, you know you are satisfied and you never need anything else. Have you found it? Have you found it? For those who have found it, let's go and tell others. Spread the good news. Bring your friends. Fill up this empty space. Can it happen? Well, I say at the rate we are going, it may take 100 years. No. Before then, the Lord may come. I say, let us not give up. Don't you give up. But let us all encourage one another and say, here is a place where the word of God is preached. Now let us sing this wonderful hymn. Hymn is Come Thou Fount. Let's arise to sing it.